with me now is Seymour Shubin, whose new novel is set in a nursing home and is about the anger and resentment a retired captain of detectives feels towards the nursing staff, the doctors, and his family who put him there. This is a suspense novel and was just nominated for the Edgar Award. Named after Edgar Allan Poe, Shubin is a former managing editor of Official Detective Stories and has written for several medical and psychological journals. His earlier book, Anyone's My Name, was a national bestseller. He lives in Overbrook Hills, which is just outside of Philadelphia. His new novel is called The Captain, and it's published by Stein and Day. Seymour Shubin, welcome to Fresh Air.
Well, it's a pleasure being here, Claire.
Do you want to tell us the premise of your novel?
Okay. As you mentioned, I have been... I've been a writer and an editor of a True Detective Story magazine a number of years ago. I've also been an editor of a journal for psychiatrists. And this is between little stints during the 25 or more years that I've been a freelance writer. Now, these two things combine to make this book, which I will just explain what the premise is. In my work with the police, I found that basically there are two forms of police officers. One is the type that works for 20 years or so and goes out on pension. The other is the kind who stays until he is retired at the age of 65. But basically, in his heart and in his soul, he remains a police officer. And this is the type of officer that I wrote about in the Captain Hughes, the protagonist here. His children put him in a nursing home after the death of his wife, and he comes into a nursing home and he sees a type of crime, quote and unquote, in his mind that he never knew existed before, and that is crimes against the elderly. That is the affronts against the dignity of the elderly by physicians, nurses, aides, children. There's this kind of crime around, and again I'm quoting crime, and there's no cop around. And in his mind, he becomes that cop. He becomes the force. And as a law and order cop, who has been described as compassionate in some reviews, and I think he is in many ways, he is the force of justice. And as a law and order man who believed in capital punishment, he, quote and unquote, executes a number of people who, in his mind, have harmed the aged.
Did something happen in your life to introduce you to situations in nursing homes?
Well, as a writer in the field of psychiatry, I would visit many facilities, and I spoke to many geriatric psychiatrists. So I wrote articles on the subject, but I really wasn't consciously thinking of terms of doing a novel. But gradually, when I saw various things, it all fit together that this was a good foundation for a novel. And the best way to tell this story of what was happening to the aged in a fine nursing home seemed to me to be a setting for, it would be better than a nonfiction book. I could go deeper into people. I could make my characters an amalgam of several characters. And so my experience in the field of psychiatry and my observations actually led to the book.
Were there any personal decisions you had to make in your life?
Yes, there was one. My mother, my brother and my sisters had to decide whether to place her in a nursing home. We held off the decision until she became senile and there was no other choice. And by the way, this is not a story against nursing homes per se, only against nursing homes for people who don't need them and for those situations where there's a lack of empathy among the staff.
Did you find yourself being very ambivalent at the time your mother was?
Very much so, yes. Of course, many things I wrote about also came from my feelings with her. And you mentioned rage, and this is one of the things that, pardon me, I saw in the elderly, many of the elderly residents. I'm not speaking of necessarily my mother's home, but in interviewing psychiatrists, and I would wander around, and the rage would be, some of it was organic, caused by their own problems, their frustrations with themselves that they were lost their memory or whatever. But there was other forms of rage at the nurses, at the doctors, at the children. And one of the sources would be being treated as though you're really no longer a part of this world. In other words, for instance, doctors and nurses will talk about Harry right in front of Harry, that Harry is going sour, which means he's going to die probably. Now, Harry may have been an executive, he may have been a physician, he may have been someone who's been capable of making decisions all his life, and it's though he's no longer there. And then there are other things calling him doll, or her doll. And these are tremendous sources of rage.
Well, in your novel, the protagonist expresses his rage by committing some murders. How did you see the people in nursing homes express their anger?
Well, by yelling and by lashing out, which is terribly frustrating because the lashing out and hitting someone, yelling isn't bad. But striking a nurse or a doctor or anybody and being known as belligerent is probably the worst thing that could happen to someone in a resident of a nursing home, because it's then all downhill. Once this label is placed on these people, it's sort of a fulfillment of the staff's thoughts, that it just becomes progressively worse. And there's also various forms of frustration. Let's take the example of someone who is in a nursing home for a purely physical reason. Again, I use the example of an executive because he's someone who's made decisions. He's there because of a broken hip. He's in a wheelchair and he may even be in a restraint because they don't want him to topple. He's pushed into a recreational therapy. The therapist there might hand him a block, a piece of wood, and tell him, "Doll, color this, or Al, why don't you say what we do this or that?" And he'll pick up the thing and may throw it to the floor or curse. Now he's labeled as belligerent. Let's take this same person who has fringes of confusion. Let's say 80% of the time he's perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
The staff knows he's somewhat confused, or she's somewhat confused. And if she becomes or he becomes belligerent, that person will stay in the wheelchair, they will be in restraints. And this again is frustration that leads to a tremendous amount of rage.
Well, from the experiences you've had, what kind of reassessment do you think there needs to be of nursing home operations?
Well, I think about nursing home operations, I think, first to back away from that, that's a pretty tough question. Backing away from that, an assessment, and I don't know how one does this, well, the state could do this, the federal government, of who belongs in a nursing home, providing enough community services where it'll be easier for families to care for the people in the home, or where people will be able, the elderly may be able to live in their own apartments. Now, we have many of these services right now, but really not enough. So a big assessment should be about who goes into nursing homes. Two, and it's hard to call an assessment, but I think the people who work in nursing homes, many of them are tremendously dedicated, and I think I wrote about people who were all very well-intentioned, is to try not to lose empathy, that they're but for the grace of God. In fact, that may be the very thing that causes this distancing from the residents and the staff.
This feeling of us and them?
Us and them. And I tried to bring that out in the book, that there really is no them. It's just a continuum of us.
Well, your novel, The Captain, has just been nominated for an Edgar Award, which is a nomination made by fellow mystery and suspense writers.
Yes.
You were a managing editor at Official Detective Stories, for whom you also wrote.
Yes.
Had that experience helped you in writing this suspense
novel?
Yes,
it did. It helped me form the character of the captain, because part of my work now as an editor of Official Detective, and also as a freelancer who did maybe 200-300 of these stories, I would go out with the police. I became very, very friendly. I would go out on the raids with them. I saw their way of life, and at times I fantasized being a policeman almost. It was sort of an ego trip. There was a lot I didn't like, and there was a lot that I really valued. But I saw many of the things that I sort of stored away in my mind. In fact, I wrote a good deal of it in my first book, which was called Anyone's My Name, about a true detective story writer who writes very glibly about murder, about other people's murders. And then one day he finds himself in a situation where he commits the type of crime, murder rather, that he has written so glibly about. And reviewers brought out, "They are but for the grace of God." And I think I have always felt that I am capable of various things. And as I move along in years, I certainly I'm capable one day of being in a nursing home, and maybe this is my part of my response to that.
Did working around crime so much make you feel like you could commit one or make you feel vulnerable to other criminals?
Well, I saw so many crimes that in the sense that if the knife hadn't been there during this quarrel, if the gun hadn't been there, if this fellow had had a job, or if this woman didn't feel whatever, lonely, and all these people who committed, or most of the people who committed murders had never committed a murder before. And there's where the thought, there but for the grace of God. These weren't people who had committed murder, were sent to jail, came out and did it again. They were all, most of them were first-timers.
Did you find the real crime stories as interesting and taut as stories that people write in good crime fiction?
Well, the true crime rarely matches fiction in that most of them are solved because somebody saw the murderer do it, or they knew there was a grudge or an informant, whereas in fiction, that's really not permitted in writing. It may be permitted, but it wouldn't be very exciting. So true crime is really much more sordid, much more grim and gruesome than fictional crime, where you don't see the bullets, you don't see the blood.
Who are the readers for the detective magazines, and do you know if they match at all with readers of crime or suspense fiction?
I really don't know who the readers are. I was told at the time that I was writing them to write for the 14-year-old mind, which I think was terribly unfair, and I think that made it easier to put out a schlocky product, maybe. I really don't know. There are still the crime magazines around. I haven't written for them for years. But they are sensationalized, and I don't know what people get out of them, some vicarious. I would much rather read a novel than the true crime story. Incidentally, some of the true crime stories at that time were really not all that true. The names were true and situations were true, but I learned quite a bit of fiction writing true detective stories.
Really? How much were you allowed to embellish?
Well, quite a bit. As long as you stayed free of libel. So I knew, in other words, if a neighbor saw a crime being committed, somehow, and that would be an open and closed case, somehow it would make it where maybe there was a button that the person saw on the driveway that made her look up into the room and what have you, and so on into the night.
What kind of reaction have you gotten so far to the captain?
Well, the reaction has been absolutely tremendous as far as I am concerned. And one of the first of the writing, has been praised. But the thing that I really value is that although the captain is a murderer, I can't escape that, the empathy for him has been tremendous, that people sympathize with a man who has actually killed five people. And in fact, when I wrote it, I really didn't look on him as a murderer until later on. And in the book itself, the captain really doesn't look on himself as a murderer until his children take him to their home for a visit, where he has the hope that he may be permitted to stay with them again. And he's in a totally different atmosphere than the nursing home. And he wonders, my God, how could I have done this? And then once he goes back into the nursing home and into this environment and the rage builds up, and where, by the way, he has a tremendous role. Here he can be the cop he once was.
Did you find yourself taking sides?
In the story? Yes, I was all for the captain. Not that I agreed with the... See, I'm against capital punishment, by the way. And yet, this was very interesting for me to write about a character who, in many ways, is not me. In large part, almost entirely, is not me. It's not my thinking. And yet, I was able to put myself in his shoes.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. It's been real interesting.
Well,
thanks for being here.
Well, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Seymour Shubin, and his new novel is called The Captain. It was just nominated for an Edgar Award, named after Edgar Allan Poe, and it's an award given for suspense or mystery fiction. The Captain is published by Stein and Day, and Seymour Shubin lives in the Philadelphia area. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.